We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Right field, and there's history for Schwarber. It's his fourth home run of the night as Kyle Schwarber becomes the first Philly since Michael Jack Schmidt to hit four homers in a game. It's a three-run home run that gives him nine runs batted in tonight. The 21st player in modern Major League history to hit four homers in a game.
Special moment. Very special moment last night. I wish I could enjoy it, but they got swept by the Mets. Welcome back to the WIP Afternoon Show. It's Broads and Marcus Hayes in for the crew. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. There is still time to book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. So 215-592-9494. That's the phone number. What's up, Marcus?
So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Dan Wilson, Buzz Wilson, back in the studio. That song was The Thuggish Ruggish Bone by Outkast, right? Or no, Bone Thugs and Harmony. And it's one of Kyle Schwarber's walk-up songs. So, kadoos, as Larry Boa would say, kadoos.
It was Buzz. Not by accident.
What'd he say?
It happened by accident.
No, I said it was not by accident.
Oh, absolutely right. I thought you not. Said it was by accident.
Absolutely not by accident. That was very intentional.
Yeah. And by far his best walk-up song.
How do you feel about...
I would say his most notable as well.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think it would be sicker if you just have the same one every time compared to the mix where you get multiple different...
I am totally in favor of...
Multiple?
No.
Of one set.
You get one warm-up song as a starter. You get one warm-up song as a reliever. You get one warm-up song. And if you need to break a slump or something...
You could switch it up.
You could switch it up, but you have to... Then you can never go back.
Buzz?
No, I agree. I think... Players who have one singular walk-up song are always more memorable than the guys who have the mix. Like, we associate Harper, he walks up to Flower by Moby, rather, and, like, that's the one everyone associates with him, but you only hear it once per game. Sometimes,
then he comes to some country song.
Sometimes you hear it twice if he comes up a fifth time in the game, but other than that, you only hear it once. Utley walked up to Kashmir every time. You know, Carlos Ruiz walked up to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins every time.
I don't think that's accurate.
That Utley,
I believe early in his career, he walked up to a song by the Venga Boys.
You're talking about Utley?
Utley, right?
Oh, no. I didn't mean his entire career. I mean when he was using Kashmir for the majority, he wasn't rotating multiple songs.
But that's my point. He identifies most with Kashmir, but I don't think he should have been able to change from Venga Boys. Like, I don't think Bryson Stott 10 years from now should have a different walk-up song. Especially that walk-up song. It's so iconic.
I have less of an issue changing game to game. I want the same song first at bat, second at bat, third at bat, fourth at bat, which Utley did not do. He walked up to Kashmir in the first inning, in the third inning, in the fifth, and so on, where Harper, Schwarber, some of these other guys rotate within the game. I don't think it works. Like, Lindor walks up to My Girl at Citi Field, and I dread it every single time because they all sing along to it, and it usually means hell for the Phillies, but it's every single time he comes up, and it's catchy, and you associate it with him, whereas if he only used it once per game, it wouldn't stick as much.
Yeah, fair point.
I think it's funny. Like, Mariano Rivera maybe had the most, identifiable, associated walk-up song in Enter Sandman. Huge Christian music fan. Met James Hetfield after they assigned it to him and decided to keep it. So walk-ups, I love the stories behind the walk-up songs.
It's a lot of pressure to get it right.
But when you have, like, 27 a season, then that's too many stories.
Castellanos switches it, like, once a week.
Well, there's a lot of issues with Nick Castellanos.
I mean, that's too much. Marcus, I agree. Like, you can't be doing it every single day. But I want – how about, like, one or two switches per season max?
No.
You get one for your career?
I think it should be one per season max.
All right, one per season, and it's the same.
And if you have a good season, you have to keep it.
Who defines if it's a good season?
That's where we come into play at WIP.
We're the rulers of that. Yeah, and I want the same walk-up music every at-bat. No switching in game.
That's right. All right, so we're going to get back to the phone. This is what we're asking people, all right? Because I'm emotionally damaged. That's the way I phrased it, and that's the way I feel. And yesterday was a really awesome moment. There's no sugarcoating it. What Kyle Schwarber did, getting four home runs, that was special. But I am so broken as a Phillies fan that it just didn't move me. And I want to know if yesterday moved you, because it should. It should. It's crazy that it doesn't move me. But what they did in Queens was so detrimental to my sports health that I'm just screwed up. But before we get back to the phones and talk to the people on that, Rob Thompson, after the game, took a shot at our very own Kyle Quinn. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, again, a huge character win. You get down three, and I know, you know, the radio stations were wanting the fans to boo us and all that stuff, but that's all right, you know. But we came back, scored five, and then just chipped away and just kept going, so added on. And so, yeah, really big win.
So here's my thought on the should the Phillies have booed them to respond to the chaos up there in Queens. No, they shouldn't have. Shouldn't have been 45,000 people booing.
Do we have sound of Kyle advocating for this?
Oh, I'm sure we do.
Buzz, we do, maybe, yes.
Okay, do we have it right now on hand?
I do. Let's take a listen.
Sure.
I need them to feel what we just went through for three games. And I don't want to hear don't give me the crap about they're up four games. They're still leading the division. Shut up. Shut up. That was a disgrace what they just put us through over these last three games. So I want to throw it right back in their face. They need to know when they walk on that field that we, as Philadelphians, do not accept the product that they just put out.
I just think they're going to clap back at us after the game if we boo them.
I'm strongly considering going just to boo.
I think you should.
All right, so I
that's nuts.
I feel his pain towards the result against the Mets, but I don't think you have to go to the extreme where 45,000 people are just raining boos when they come home to play the Braves. What I think is right and fair, honestly, I'm not giving them a standing O either. What I would do is just be that weird, awkward, eerie feeling that was in the ballpark because a lot of fans were upset, but we're not going to just boo you to death. I think awkward, uncomfortable vibes was probably the right mood based off of what we saw previously.
It's incredibly remarkable. Two things in that press conference. I watched the press conference last night. I wasn't at the game, but I watched the press conference. Rob brought up that being a character win like three times and was not asked about it, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he kept bringing it up, but nobody was like, is this a big win, character win, momentum, whatever. That I heard. You couldn't really hear the questions in the press conference, so I might be wrong. The other thing is, Rob Thompson never responds to that sort of stuff.
You're right.
Like, you could ask him about the ovation for Trey, but he's not going to come out and say, hey, you know, that was really cool, that ovation for Trey last year, whatever, whatever. That is astonishing that Rob Thompson, it bothered him that much. He thought it was that inappropriate that he not only brought it up, but criticized it and chastised this radio station, which carries the games, the flagship station, for suggesting that sort of thing in that moment. That is just...
Of everything we do here, Kyle Quinn broke him.
It's a reflection, though, in a way, because I feel Nick Sirianni does that. He uses the outside noise, and they bottle it up, and then they try to prove people wrong with it. Is that a Nick Sirianni move, or am I reading too much into that?
No, I just think he was mad.
He was just mad?
That's Canadian anger.
Uh-oh.
The politest anger you'll ever see. Yeah,
he raises a fist and goes, damn you, and that's it.
Yeah. Unless you're rooting for the Maple Leafs, then they turn into
darn you
demons.
Well, you should hear the Canadiens fans cussing French.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure that's a good time. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jordan in Princeton. What's going on, Jordan?
Good morning, Broads, or afternoon, as it were. I don't even know. I'm confessing that I feel like I'm in an emotionally abusive relationship with my baseball team.
Okay.
It's like this relationship I can't get out of right now. You know, you go out and they treat you badly in front of other people and embarrass you in front of the Mets. And then the next day, they've got the Bryce Harper mixtape with the four walk-up songs and the Schwarber with the four home runs. And I just don't know if this is a relationship I should be committing to at this point. And this is 40 years of being nothing but a Phillies fan, but the emotional ups and downs that this team is putting me through right now makes me wish that I broke up with my high school girlfriend instead of going to college with her for a year.
Well, Jordan,
I don't know how to correct it.
The thing about an ups and downs relationship with a sports team is that there are ups. I mean, think about, you say you're a lifelong Phillies fan. Think about all the downs, the protracted downs. Would you rather have ups and downs, or would you rather have 1994?
Well, I mean, we were lasted through 10 years of absolutely the worst franchise that I've ever seen from my baseball club, right? I mean, after the, you know, Rollins, Howard, Utley era was done, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that stadium for a decade. And so now that we're 4 years into what we all thought was going to be a championship run, and they still keep playing with our emotions like this, how can you go to Citi Field and not just get swept, but my goodness, how can you get blanked in the final game of a three-game series? I feel like it is abusive, and I may need some therapy, but I'm really hoping that we can make this work as a long-term marriage, because you don't want to give up on the team.
Hey,
but, you
man.
Know, some flowers and a mixtape is not doing it for me at this point.
40 years is a long-term marriage, pal. That's just, you can't. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to land?
That's the kicker, Jordan. You know? As much pain as we're in, there is no other alternative. We just have to suck it up, and we end up having to take the abusive relationship.
Do the dishes, man.
The discussion, though, and what people, you know, that I know who are true fans at this point, they're getting frustrated with the amount of time they're putting in and not seeing out of it. And I do get that as a fan base. Like, I'm a guy who likes to watch every Phillies game. I don't get to watch every, you know, miss one here and there. But, you know, when you put the time in and you don't get it back, and then you get the things like Harper and the Mets colors, and I know it's not the biggest deal, but these things, they start to needle at you. So again, it might be years of therapy. I'm not breaking up. I'm not breaking this relationship off, but I hope I get it to a point where I'm no longer abused the way I feel this way.
Wow. All right, Jordan, you're the man. Thank you for the call.
And I apologize to all people who are in actual abusive relationships, because we do not mean to trivialize your plight.
Not.
That said, I mean, I just get it such a kick out of the sense of entitlement, not just in Philadelphia, but from a lot of sports fans. It's even worse with Premier League fans or international soccer fans in general.
Nuts. It is
the sense of entitlement. But you know, that's the thing. Like, nobody's been dominant in Major League Baseball in years. It just doesn't happen anymore. So when you talk about championship run, being competitive and getting to the point where you're relevant and you're close is very, very rare. And I just think it should be appreciated, especially with a team you like and a team that's been – I mean, think about how many anti-Philly guys are there on this team. How many guys who are don't at least purport to be like, I'm with you, I feel your pain, Philadelphia. There were a lot of those guys in the Charlie Manuel era.
They won, and it changes perception on things.
Well, I don't think that's the thing. I don't think people connected with that team the way that you'd expect them to connect with that team. It was a party. Like, Cliff Lee wasn't a Philly guy. He didn't care about Philadelphia. Roy Halladay didn't really care about Philadelphia. These guys were mercenaries. They were in to do a job, and they were cold-blooded about it, which is fine. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I just get a kick out of, like, this entitlement. I'm owed a championship. The fact that he's watching every night means they're relevant, and that's what he's owed. This is not compulsory investment. You are not owed a title because you watched the game.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
But that's what a fan is, though. That's the fan side.
No, I disagree. Yeah. I mean, most fans understand, most sane fans understand, that a title is the bonus.
No.
What's expected is to be relevant. It is.
The fans don't want. No, you're right that relevancy does matter for sure. But then it's like, so it's almost like this. For a while, and I don't want to use the Maple Leafs as an example here, but as a hockey guy, it does seem to maybe mix in here. But, like, for a while, they wanted to be relevant, and then they finally got relevant. But now they can't get over the hump. So it's just one of those things with this Phillies team where there's like levels to the expectation. And when you're not competing at all, you need to get to a point of relevancy. But once you're there, you don't just become satisfied with the relevancy. It's just a step in the process of getting to the title. So once you're in the relevancy area, which the Phillies are, and that does get two thumbs up and it should get approved, but you can't just sit there forever and take it. At some point, we got to see that next step. And
what do you
I feel
mean,
we're
what,
in there.
What's your alternative to taking it?
Well, it just must get done.
Well, that's my point. Like, there is no, you have no alternative but to take it. And you can choose to enjoy it, or you can choose to be miserable and angry.
But I don't think a fan is wrong to say we expect to see a championship.
I'm not talking right or wrong. I'm saying you have a choice to make. You can be angry when things aren't going well for you, or you can be grateful that you're relevant and you have a chance. Yeah. That's a choice you make.
I'm somewhere in the middle. Because
no, you're not.
Yeah, no, I am.
No,
I am. Well, no, after this Mets series, I am. But when they won four in a row and they swept Seattle and they beat the first game against the Cincinnati Reds and it looked like they were maybe turning the corner into something I could believe in, I was saying, hey, maybe there's a really golden opportunity here to take it. But then they flopped and folded miserably, and then they proved that they have some inconsistency issues, and then it starts to deflate me again. So I don't think it's nuts as a fan to really go after this with a you got to win us a championship mindset. When you're, because to your point, the reason we feel this way is because they do have a chance. Like, as much as I don't think they have a chance, they do have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where they obviously do, but you think they're so flawed that they don't. But they do, or else we wouldn't be this mad. The reason why we get this mad is because they are close-ish. But you gotta finish the job. You gotta finish the job. But they are close. But you can't just accept being close. You gotta get the job done, you know? No? You're not?
This is my life. Most teams that win championships shouldn't. They're not the team that was favored. Like, more than half, way more than half of the teams that win titles are not the teams that are expected to win titles.
So, well, betting wise.
No, maybe. No. Like, not even betting wise, like power rankings, if that carries any weight with you. Analytics, all those sorts of, it almost never happens. So, my point being, it's relatively random and so many things are, like, they'd be a better team right now if Zach Wheeler was on the team. He has a circulation issue that might end his career. You know, those are things you can't control, which is why being relevant is what, I mean, I would argue since he got here in Philadelphia, Zach Wheeler's been their best player.
Sure.
They are playing without their best player.
But there were issues prior to him.
Sure, but again, they're playing without their best player. My point being, they are less likely to do it now than with him. But that's the part of sports that is not only unpredictable, but it sort of negates entitlement.
Well, then can't we say the reason why we praise Dave Dombrowski, the ones that do, for getting Lizardo and building this staff is you set yourself up where if you were to lose somebody of that caliber, you still have a phenomenal staff to go to war with, and you still have a serious chance to compete. If that's the case, then we have to understand that, well, that's why he built this team this way. There's so much depth there. They should still be able to win, so the expectation shouldn't change.
No,
if
the
he
expectation,
did a good job.
You should expect them to be competitive and expect them to have a chance. But, again, if you choose to want to jump off a bridge every time they get swept by the Mets, you're choosing that. And it's not a rational choice because they're still a good team.
Yeah, they are still a good team. But a good team, I need a great team. And a great team wouldn't go to Queens and get swept like that. Let's go to Jason in King of Prussia. What's up, Jason?
Fellas, Marcus, we hung out after the 2008 World Series with the most mutual friend in a basement in South Philly, and you're a great dude. We had a lot of fun that night.
What were you doing, Marcus? How was that night? Want to go into detail?
I don't remember. I remember being somewhere in South Philly. It might have been a basement. I was married and had a baby. And was living in Richmond, and I was hanging out with one of my wife's basketball friends.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much all I remember.
Yeah, it was all good, clean fun. It was a great night. I mean, what a great! I kissed more men that night than I should have, but all out of pure joy.
Okay. All right.
Listen.
Okay.
Well, that was a great walk down Broad Street. But look, you're both off a little bit as a long-tenured season ticket holder for a couple Philadelphia sports. Marcus, it's not an entitlement. The team tells us what to expect. What do you guys expect this year? We want to win a championship. When you don't start winning, act like you're winning a championship, the fans are going to get nasty, get judgmental, get not entitled. We're holding them to the expectation.
No, no, no. What they said was we want to win a championship, not we're going to win a championship.
We expect to win a championship.
Well, that's their expectation and your expectation, but it's not a guarantee.
You know, of course it's not a guarantee, but to have that expectation and then to get angry and then to say mean things when that expectation does not look like it is going to be met, and let's also be perfectly honest, team has been a complete postseason failure the last couple of years. And yes, the magical home run ride was amazing. Amazing. But that was a couple years ago now. So yeah, the fan base is, I think, not entitled, spitefully quick-tempered. Okay? And I think that's totally valid.
Well, you can think that if you like. I mean, I don't. You've got a very good product and a very deep product. They lost their best player, and they're still very good. So you can think that if you like. I just don't. And you're making the choice to be quick-tempered.
Right, and I am losing my patience. I don't like the
to what end?
It's not like you're going to before he's won anything.
But to what end?
To what end? Bush League.
To what end? You're not going to not be a Phillies fan. That's my point. I mean, you're in a situation where your team, I think, is doing its best to satisfy you, and they're pretty good in the process. But, you know, like our previous caller, Jordan, I think it was, you don't have an alternative. You're going to be a Phillies fan next year.
Yeah, and I just don't like the word entitlement because it is like –
accurate.
And I'm reacting to the team expectations. And clearly when the Phillies stink and the Eagles stink, I think this is a realistic fan base. And I think we are very real that, like, okay, this year's Eagles season is going to be about the tailgating. We're very lucky enough that we can't remember when that was between Andy Reid and the success that this team has had. But I remember in the late 90s when you went down there to have fun with your boys. And that was it. And that was the expectation. But the Phillies now have set a very high expectation because they are very good.
Right.
And the fan base is absolutely around to crush them when they go up to New York and piss all over themselves.
I agree,
Jason. Have a great holiday weekend, fellas.
Thank you. You too. No, listen, I do agree with that. It's so, like, you're the foundation of what you're saying, excuse me, I think is definitely legitimate, for sure, that they're in the mix, they're in the conversation, they're right there with these best teams. But once you set that foundation, it just comes back to, I think fans do then deserve to push in and say, like, we got to get it. We got to close the door. We can't finish the book off and there not be an ending. You need the ending.
If they fail in the postseason this year, mm-hmm. Rob's probably gone, right?
Wow.
Dave's not.
See, and I'd be bothered. I think it should be the opposite, but you wouldn't bring in a new regime up top and keep top.
But, I mean, John Middleton thinks Dave Dombrowski is a Hall of Fame general manager.
And he probably is, but I just haven't seen it here.
Rob Thompson is a first-time manager. So that's the blood you will get if they don't succeed in the postseason. But, I mean, I don't think that that's fair. I think this team plays well for him.
I agree. I think Topper's good.
I don't think he was the problem in the three postseason runs. And I'll push back a little bit. I mean, they were not an abject disaster in the second postseason run. They won a series, and then they lost a series. And they lost two games they probably shouldn't have lost. But that doesn't mean that the year was lost. Last year was an abject disappointment. Like, they were that's the best team they've had in the regular season, and they got beat in four games in a mini series. That to me is bad. That's much worse than losing to Arizona. But, you know, again, we're never going to agree about this. The Philadelphia fan base, even when the teams aren't good, is an entitled fan base compared to a lot of other fan bases, because all that matters is championships. So no matter where you are on the scale, no matter where you are sort of on the spectrum, that's the only thing that satisfies Philadelphia. So, which is fine, which is good for me, good for the radio station, and good for my paper, right? But, again, that's entitlement.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with expecting that. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. All right, it's Broad, it's Marcus Hayes. We are filling in for the afternoon show. Coming up next, your calls, and we will get a quick check-in from Elliott Shore Parks to talk about the Birds, about Micah Parsons. We could get into the NFC and where everything kind of stands now because there was some massive news that dropped yesterday.
Massive.
It's 94 WIP.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.